Riverside.
Hello, welcome to Syracuse Speaks, a Syracuse Crunch-centric podcast. My name is Alex Ackerman, and I'm your host, and this is weird. I normally do not record on a Friday afternoon. Usually I do a weekend summary and preview of the upcoming weeks, not a weekend preview. But I have a couple things going on over the next few days that are just taking a lot of my attention and my energy. So I wanted to make sure to be able to give you all of my attention and all of my energy. So it's been a pretty quiet week at work. The school district that I do work with has been on spring break, so my inbox has been miraculously clean. Most of the emails I've gotten have actually had to do with the stuff that I'm doing next week, so not really things I need to take care of right now. I figured, you know what? We're going to sit down and do things a little bit differently. So if you're eating dinner by yourself tonight and you want a preview of the weekend, please feel free to sit down with me with whatever you have at home and tune in. Otherwise, whenever you're listening to this weekend, I hope that you enjoy. As always, I welcome feedback, so please feel free to get a hold of me on social media, especially as we count down to the playoffs. I mean, I think we're counting down to the playoffs. The North Division doesn't seem to care that playoffs are approaching. And what I mean when I say that is if you look at the other divisions, there are at least some teams in all of the other divisions that have clinched playoff spots. The Pacific is all the way decided right up until seventh place because, of course, the Pacific Division has 10 teams in it. So their playoffs their slate is set. The other divisions in the Central, the top three places so far, top three teams have clinched. There's Milwaukee. There's the team that shall not be named from Michigan. And then there's Rockford. So those three teams over in the Central, they know they're in. They know they're good to go. The other places in that division are being decided. Our friends over the Atlantic Division, Hershey's in. They've been in for like a month now. they've clinched the league regular season point champion, whatever the heck it's called. They have 101 points. They've been unstoppable all season long. They only have 12 regulation losses at this point. So they're in. And then Providence, who Syracuse just shut out this past weekend, is also in the playoffs so far. Coming up behind them, Charlotte's pretty close. Wilkes-Barre, both of those teams, I know Wilkes-Barre is because I have some friends in Wilkes-Barre, but I'm fairly positive if Wilkes-Barre has a clinching scenario coming into their games tonight, then Charlotte probably does too. So those two teams are looking to punch tickets, if not tonight, then this weekend. And then coming up behind them, there's Hartford, Lehigh Valley, Springfield, and then Bridgeport. So those are the teams still duking it out for playoff positions over in the Atlantic Division, which is the other team, which is the other division in Syracuse's conference. How that'll work out, you know, it's looking like I said, Charlotte and Wilkes-Barre, they're within striking distance. Hartford isn't that far behind them. And then it looks like it'll probably be a toss up, maybe if Lehigh can sneak themselves in. But my guess is the Atlantic probably isn't going to be changing too much from how it currently looks. Unlike the North Division. So the last time we sat down together, Syracuse was battling Cleveland fairly regularly and fairly consistently for the number one spot in the North. That is still true to some extent, but the Rochester Americans, with a previous 10 record of 8 wins, 1 loss, and 1 shootout loss, have forced themselves into the conversation. Belleville, who you all know I have been stressing about for weeks because Syracuse hadn't managed to beat them in regulation up until about a month ago, has suddenly plummeted to the bottom of the North Division. And to be fair to Belleville, plummeted, I will admit, is a little bit of a strong word. They fell. They're not out of it by any means. In fact, all of the spots in the North are pretty much up for grabs right now. I don't think Syracuse will fall lower than third, but I mean, truly, the way that the North has been shaping up, not only this season, but over the past couple of seasons, it keeps getting into this situation where nothing is decided, at least fully, until the final weekend of the season. And it certainly looks like the North Division is headed there this season as well. No one in the North Division has clinched a playoff spot as of today, which is April 5th. No one in the North Division has a clinching scenario for tonight. Possibly tomorrow night, we'll have to see how all of the cards lie after this evening and how all of the math works out. Syracuse might be able to get itself into a clinching scenario for their game tomorrow night. But as of right now, no one is within striking distance of that spot immediately. So here's how the North Division stands as of 4:06 p.m. on April 5th, 2024. Your Syracuse Crunch are in first place with 80 points. They have a 37-22-4-2 record over the entire season and a 5-5 record, so 5 wins, 5 regulation losses, over their previous 10 games. Syracuse has hit a little bit of a rough spot. They've run into some injury trouble. Their roster, especially their defensive pairings, have been shaken up a little bit as of late, trying to find the right combination, trying to figure out how to work around injured guys and called up guys. It's not a scenario you really want to see your team going through at this point in the season, but it is what it is. On the NHL side of things, the Lightning has a couple scenarios tonight where they could actually clinch a playoff spot themselves, even though they are idle, which was not necessarily a situation that many people were envisioning just a month or two ago. That always complicates the playoff picture for AHL teams. Players are still going to be called up. Players at the NHL level are still going to be injured. And there's that ever-present temptation for AHL players who watch their NHL partners get into the playoffs. The Calder Cup is prestigious. The Calder Cup is worth going after. The Calder Cup is, within its own right, a trophy to be proud of. But it doesn't compare to the Stanley Cup, and these players know it. In previous seasons, I honestly think that Syracuse, when you've had a spectacular regular season, and then you have a playoff series that putters out and falls short and doesn't hit expectations, I honestly think there have been a couple seasons where there were players in Syracuse who would have rather have been up with the Lightning as they went after their 75th or whatever the heck it was, Stanley Cup. I don't think that that's going to happen as much with this current group. First of all, there's not as many veterans to care. Certainly Syracuse has some players on its roster that would love to be on the Lightning side of a playoff run. But there's also a lot of young players who, even if they get called up as a black ace, which is the name given to minor league players that go up during the NHL's Stanley Cup playoffs, and mostly they do what's called soaking in the atmosphere, which means they don't have a hope of playing, of even touching the ice in a game scenario. But they're there to learn and they're there to watch and they're there to go, oh yeah, this is what I'm working towards. So next year when they send me back to the AHL, this is what I'm going to have in the back of my mind. This is going to be my motivation. Some of those guys will play and some of those guys might surprise. It's happened before. It will definitely happen again. But this year's team, I don't think there is as big of a chance for a lot of those guys for that to happen too, where they get playing time during the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, I mean, I hope that they would like to spend more time in Syracuse playing meaningful hockey, as we call it, than sitting in the press box in Tampa. as impressive as their press box is. So Syracuse should have some clinching scenarios coming up very soon. Certainly keep an eye on the AHL's Twitter for all of that information. In second place in the North, as I said earlier, Rochester has hurled itself into the conversation. They have 77 points. They are currently tied with Cleveland, who also has 77 points. Cleveland has run into the scenario that all AHL fans hope to avoid. Not only do they have their own injuries that they are dealing with, they are dealing with a fairly large number of call-ups. For those of you who were fans of Syracuse in 2008, you might recall that during that 15-game winning streak that Syracuse ended the season with, it seemed like every single game Syracuse was missing another player to a call-up to, ironically enough, the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are currently the parent club of the Cleveland Monsters. And the entire time, you were just waiting for that winning streak to fall because of all these call-ups that were happening. And at one point in time, even Big Dog Z, Captain Zen and Kanapka got called up. And that was when a lot of fans were like, it's done. The winning streak is over. We're done. It didn't end. But that team also was something pretty special. And it takes a pretty special group of guys to fight through that level of adversity and just keep finding ways to get it done. Cleveland isn't finding ways to get it done right now. They are 100% a group that will figure it out. I have no doubt. I am sure that they're not going to fall out of the playoff picture completely. But keeping in mind that they're not going to want to fall into fourth place. They're going to want to stay in that third place, and here's why. Fourth place, Toronto, 73 points. Fifth place, Laval, 70 points. If the playoffs started this weekend, if tonight was the first weekend of the playoffs, fourth place and fifth place would be playing extra hockey against each other to figure out who gets the honors of playing first place in the division. So remember, the fourth and fifth place team in the North have to do a play-in round where they're basically playing a best of three series. God, this is so convoluted and I really don't like it, but it's not up to me. So they play a best of three series to decide who gets the honor of playing the best team in the division. So not only are you playing extra hockey to decide who actually, you know, kind of officially makes the playoffs, you then get to go play the first team in the division. Shockingly, it usually works out that that team wins, the team that didn't have to play the extra hockey. However, Cleveland's going to want to avoid that. In sixth place in the North, Utica. Again, suddenly, Utica, who looked DOA not that long ago, has moved themselves also back into the conversation. They currently have a previous 10 record of 6 wins, 3 losses, and 1 shootout loss. They have a 2-game winning streak. They're forcing themselves back into the conversation. It's entirely conceivable that a team like Toronto ends up missing the playoffs completely, and Utica gets into one of those spaces. In last place is Belleville with 68 points. They have also hit a rough patch, much like Cleveland. Their previous 10, they have 3 wins, 6 losses, 1 overtime loss, and 0 shootout losses. So they have also run into a rough patch, and they still have every chance of making the playoffs. Again, you figure the last playoff spot only has 70 points as compared to their 68. So, I mean, they're still in the conversation. But they're going to have to pull off a little bit better than what they've been doing as they look towards the final, 3 weeks? Are we at 3 weeks? Basically, 3 weeks of the season. The North Division is in a completely different place, except for Syracuse, than from the last time we talked. Nothing's decided yet. If the playoffs started this weekend, Syracuse wouldn't even know who they were playing because it would either be Toronto or Laval. So definitely there is a lot for us as fans to be keeping an eye on over the next couple of weeks. I mentioned earlier that Wilkes-Barre is facing a clinching scenario. They could officially clinch a spot in the playoffs. They're playing Cleveland tonight. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that game. Elsewhere in the North Division, Belleville is going to be playing Springfield. And I think, oh no, there's more. Is there more? No, that's it. Tonight's game slate is actually pretty light for the league and also for the North Division, weirdly enough. But the story is different for Saturday. So Saturday, as we again, keeping in mind what everyone else is doing, Springfield and Laval are playing each other again. Utica is in action against Toronto. Who do you want winning there, Crunch fans? I'd love to know. Syracuse, who is in action against Laval themselves tonight, will be playing Belleville tomorrow night. Cleveland will be playing Lehigh Valley from the Atlantic Division. Rochester and Providence, again, from the Atlantic Division, will be going at it. And trying to see if there's any other games of consequence. I don't think there are, because now we're getting into Sunday games. So that's pretty much how the weekend shapes up. Sunday, Rochester is over in Bridgeport. So just kind of a game to keep an eye on outside of Syracuse's control. Also outside of Syracuse's control is that Utica gets to play Toronto on Sunday. But all of these matchups matter, because all of them are points that the teams are trying to get and steal from one another. And all of them are going to affect the math that's announcing whether or not these teams have clinched playoff spots. So it's just, again, the North Division always does this. And I get that, like, there's a lot of interplay in between the divisions, right? But, like, no other division is having this problem where literally nothing is decided as of April 5th. So, I don't know. I guess that's where we are. It definitely will be interesting to see what happens in the coming weekends and where everything shakes out by the end of the season. Currently, Syracuse, as previously discussed, is hurting a little bit with injuries and some call-ups and things, but it's nothing the team hasn't seen before. Matt Tompkins, who is truthfully, if you're going by performances of late, he is really looking like Syracuse's number one goalie. Hugo Alnefelt has had a couple of rough outings. I definitely think there's still passion and talent there. But, you know, with Tompkins up with the Lightning and Brandon Halverson back in Syracuse to pitch in while Tompkins is up, hopefully he won't be up for very long. It doesn't really seem like the Lightning backup is that hurt. I think a lot of this is just precautionary as they head towards the playoffs. But still, like, the Crunch is going to be looking to get some pretty solid games out of their backstops coming down the stretch as they head towards the playoffs. Gage Gonsalves is still tearing it up for the team. He has 41 assists in 62 games, 52 points total. His 41 assists are good for fifth in the league right now. So he has had an incredible season for Syracuse. And he's certainly somebody that the Crunch needed to step up, especially in the absence of a player like Gabriel Dumont just because of injuries and everything else going on. So he's still one of the best players on the ice for Syracuse regularly. Cole Koepke is second on the team in points right now with 39. He has 20 goals and 19 assists in 51 games. Felix Robert, who's had some injury trouble but hopefully is working through things, has 32 points, 13 goals, 19 assists. And then, you know, from there, it's still pretty exciting how Syracuse is managing to keep up the secondary scoring. You know, yeah, you have Gage Gonsalves, 52 points, leading the team by far. But then as you go down, there's a lot of Syracuse's players. In fact, 10 players, basically, give or take some players that aren't on the roster currently, in the 20-point range for the team. That's really good. You know, that's kind of where you want your AHL team to be, right? You want to make sure that you have players other than your number one line scoring for you. So overall, you know, Alex Barbule is currently 20th on the team in points with 14, but he got those 14 points in 16 games, so I can't hold it too much against him. Side note, it continues to be a little bit of a mystery to me as to why Barbule is on Syracuse's fourth line. I think, you know, knowing what I've seen from Coach Bouchard this season, my assumption is that he is rewarding the players who have been with Syracuse all season long, who have paid their dues in the minors, who have created chemistry with their line mates, and who have been able to, you know, do the things that they need to do in the AHL. Player like Alex Barbule comes down, and I could see where there might be a question, you know, should we put him on the first line, which is where he has played for his entire career in Syracuse up until now? Or should we continue to reward the players who have been with Syracuse for most of the season or all season and play them the most? It could be too. Maybe Barbule is fighting through some kind of an injury and they don't want to give him a ton of minutes. But on the other hand, Barbule is also getting a lot of special teams time. So it's not as if he's sitting. And it's also not as if you're in the olden days of AHL hockey where that fourth line is full of guys who can't play hockey and are really just there to fight. Y'all know how much I loved the John Morastis and the Jeff Swezes of the world way back when, but that was your fourth line, right? Like, they weren't there to play hockey. They were there to enforce and be the policemen and all of those cliches. So Syracuse has four really strong lines. I mean, I don't know any other team in the American Hockey League that has a fourth line with a player like Barbule on it. I'm not entirely sure I agree with keeping Barbule on the first line. I absolutely understand that there is a need to reward the players who have been playing well for Syracuse all season long, but I also would like to see the team win. And during their most recent rough patch with really inconsistent defense and really up and down goaltending and games where the team really didn't look like they were actually playing hockey until about the middle of the second, especially in the absence of Captain Dumont, I kind of feel like that spark is needed, and we know Barbule can provide that spark. I mean, look at what he's doing on the fourth line. You can't argue with this. So, I mean, I understand it. I do. But, like, I kind of feel as though he has also paid his dues for this team and that should be taken into consideration. Again, it's just my opinion. You know, someone else on that line is Gabriel Fortier. He has 24 points in 55 games, 12 goals, 12 assists. So that fourth line is making a lot of noise. It's a very strong fourth line. I just truth be told, I don't think Barry Boulay belongs on that strong fourth line. And I think because Syracuse has been rolling three or four fairly consistent groups of forwards this whole season, you could move anybody around and it's going to be fine. But if you can get Barry Boulay in a better position to use his talents for what he should be using them for, I would personally like to see that heading into the playoffs, because especially since the Lightning look like they're going to make it, that's going to be a factor. I don't think they're going to be interested in Barry Boulay's services. I really don't. I think that they would call up a Gonsalves or trying to think what other forwards they've called up this season. Maybe like a Felix Robert or a Cole Koepke. You know, they're not going to be looking to call up Barry Boulay at this point in time. So I don't know. That's just my opinion on that. It'll be interesting to see if he continues to play on the fourth line or if something will change there. Looking towards Syracuse's next couple of weeks. Actually, I take that back. Before I do that, I just wanted to take a glance backwards at the Syracuse Canal Mules night this past Saturday. What a fun night. The jerseys looked great. The theming of the entire night was fantastic. The beer that was special to that evening tasted like beer. It's probably the biggest compliment I can give it. But the can design was fantastic. The fact that all night long, you know, the press releases and Matt on the announcement system was the Syracuse Canal Mules. It's the Canal Mules on the power play. It's the Canal Mules on the penalty kill. It's a Canal Mules goal. It was just a really fun night. And truly, no other team in the AHL does theme nights, especially ones with connections to local history like Syracuse. I had quite a few people from other cities asking me whether the entire history of the Canal Mules was true or not. I am not going to reveal my ignorance or my thoughts on the podcast. Yes, I am totally copping out, but regardless of whether it was embellished, fabricated, or completely true, they did such an incredible job with the people they got to narrate it, with the stories that were told, with the winks backward in time to things. I mean, just like the fact that I had people from other cities messaging me being like, is this real or not? I can't tell, is definitely a feather in the Crunch's cap. And I salute them for all of the work that went into that night. As a history person myself, I very much appreciate that level of commitment to local New York State history. So very nicely done. I really look forward to seeing next season's promotional schedule and seeing what local connections they're going to make then. But moving on and looking forward, tonight Syracuse is in Laval. That is a building that has traditionally not been super hospitable to Syracuse, especially as of late. But with a lot of important points on the line this weekend, up and down the North Division, it'll be interesting to see what kind of a game Syracuse manages to play. Tomorrow night, they will be at Belleville. And again, that is a team that Syracuse has only beat once this season. They will play them again just once more before the end of the season. It would be really nice, just in case they do manage to wind their way back into the playoffs, if Syracuse could keep the victories against the Senators coming. Friday, April 12th, Syracuse is back home versus Toronto for actually Friday, April 12th and Saturday, April 13th. So they'll play Toronto twice. And that Saturday, April 13th game is the annual Pucks for Paws night. Season ticket holders, you should have gotten an email from the team detailing what to do if you are a season ticket holder who would like to take your dog to the game. Last year, we ended up with some season ticket holders in our section who felt like they were too good to go to the dog section. And as someone who is not exactly super fond of dogs, that did not thrill me. So it would be very nice if season ticket holders would respect the policies of the team that they are a fan of and follow directions. Moving on, mostly because I'm not entirely sure when I'm going to be able to record again. Things get a little crazy this month. Saturday, April 17th is that game that Syracuse plays against Belleville up in Canada. April 19th, Syracuse is at Utica. And then April 20th, the Crunch is back home to end their season against Utica. Because, of course, we wouldn't have it any other way, except we wish we could. But we can't. So, April 20th, Syracuse will end their season. Their team photo giveaway is that night. That's fan appreciation night. That'll be the whole award ceremony and all of those kinds of things. Come early. Be prepared to stay late. Syracuse also usually does a post-game autograph signing session for that team photo that they give away. So just in case you haven't done that and you want a heads up on that, consider that your heads up. Obviously, I haven't seen anything. If they're doing that again, that information will come out as April 20th approaches. But I'm fairly positive that they'll do it because it's just, it's what they've always done. So keep those things in mind. I also saw something about a mental health awareness night that I think will be probably, I think, next weekend too. I really appreciate the mental health initiative that the team has undertook this season. I think that we need more professional teams in people's awarenesses talking about mental health and how to develop positive habits. I think that that's a really good thing for the team to be talking about. And it's been really great to see. So that's exciting. And we will know sooner rather than later where the Crunch will land in the playoff picture. Obviously, it would be great if Syracuse could keep first place. Not only, you know, would they avoid that play-in round that the lower place teams have to play, but it also means that they get home ice. It's important to do that. Although I did see that there's a Disney on Ice spectacular that's visiting Syracuse at the start of May. It'll be interesting to see how that plays into playoff scheduling, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I've heard some interesting rumors. It'll be fun for me if some of what I've heard works out, but we're not there yet. We have no idea how the playoffs are even going to look at this point in time. And for once, I mean that, like, anything can happen between now and the end of the regular season. There's still a lot of points up for grabs, and these spaces in the North can change. So until we know, I'll be with you every step of the way over on social media. And when I can update the podcast, I most certainly will. I think that will do it for this week's episode. I'm your host, Alex Ackerman. You can find me on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at AlloVimo, where I have always been, AlloVimo. I'd love your feedback. I'd love to know where you think Syracuse is going to land in the whole playoff picture. Anything else you want to send my way about the other teams, that would be great. Thank you all so much for tuning in and listening. Keep taking care of each other out there in Crunchland, and I will see you next time.